Right, you know how I'm in grad school and I'm in this like last semester.
I know. You're doing your thing.
I'm in this class, and it's like this very small class. There's like 12.
Do they control y'all art in some kind of way?
We don't know. Listen, I'm in a class with like 12 other students. We're from all different colleges, but it's like within the bubble of the university, and I keep talking to them and. It's a like a social art class.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, how can we get outside this bubble of this university?
All right. What's up? My name's Nick Jackson. I'm working with a class in the university. We're trying to learn a little bit more about the people in the community around Tuscaloosa. And we're trying to learn a little bit more about how they view the community around them and learn to see if we can find any correlations and see if we can find any ways to make people's days better. And kind of learn to kind of foster community throughout the city. So, hey, what's your name and are you cool being recorded?
What is the best part of your day or what makes your day?
What makes your day?
What just makes your day better?
Why was your day so good yesterday?
Every customer that I had yesterday told me that I was the best and awesome. And
what makes your day?
So, what makes your day?
¿Cuál es la mejor parte de vuestro día?
What's the best part of your day? What makes your day?
The best part of my day is spending time with my family, especially my two boys, in the afternoon, like when we all gather back together and usually we cook together and, you know, between sports and family. So, yeah, that's the best part of my day when all of us come back together at the end of the day, getting up together in the mornings and then coming back together at the end of the day. That's the best part of my day.
The best part of my day is coming home from class and just getting to sit down and listen to music.
John, by the way.
Ezra.
Piper. Nice to meet you.
So what makes y'all's day? Just in general. It could be anything.
Good weather.
What about you?
Productivity.
I mean, that's good, though.
For me, like, eating a meal and taking a shower is productivity.
What makes my day? Let's see. I like to wake up in the morning, get a pack of smokes, and have a cup of coffee. I don't know, what makes my day? Meeting new people who are enjoyable, sort of a active social environment, but not where it's to the point where it's, you know, we all have to meet and greet, but, you know, those casual interactions, those little quiet moments at a bar where, you know, someone's feeling the band, they hit you up, and, you know, you just get to know them. Little stuff, you know, the details, like being friendly but not too friendly, where it's just like, what you doing?
What's the best part of your day, or what makes your day?
Actually... working with the kids, because every one of them's got a story to tell. How their boyfriend, I'm the social worker, the nurse practitioner, the president of the United States. You're everything when it comes to these kids.
The best part about my day is when I'm sitting at home in my bed with my dog.
Coming home to my cat, her name is Sweetie Patricia Hollander.
So I wanted to ask you, what makes your day? What makes your day? What is the best part of your day?
Best part is really sit home, meditate, and with my small, you know, I have small dog, it's Pomeranian. That's, whenever I able to help other people, that is, then I make them so happy, fulfill my wish, you know.
What's up, bro? My name is D'Angelo. Hey, so I guess for starters, I want to ask you, what makes your day?
What makes my day is seeing all my friends. Catching a good meal, you know, getting some homework done, meet someone new.
Oh, are you a student?
Yeah.
How's that going for you?
It's all right, man. It's rough. Engineering's rough, man. I need help sometimes. I have to pray at night, you know. Got to keep my soul on balance. Yeah.
It's a struggle every day to use cognitive therapy.
Yeah.
It's a struggle to put up your stop sign. It's a struggle... to walk yourself through a panic attack if you have one. It's a struggle to not be negative, to not be down on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a struggle to think to yourself, I'm fat, my face is broken out, I don't look good in this dress, everyone's prettier than me, I'm stupid, and stop yourself and go, no, I'm not. It's a daily work. Mm-hmm. To do it.
We're in a brave new world. Like, we are so close to a dystopian society.
Huxley? Adolf Huxley. You don't, I don't know if you read the book. I had to read that book when I was in ninth grade.
Adolf Huxley. That sounds familiar.
A Brave New World.
Brave. Oh, is that who wrote that?
Yeah. Oh, Fahrenheit. What was it? Fahrenheit.
451. Yeah, but that was a different guy, right?
Yeah. But it was they was burning
but Brave
up books
New
and all.
World was,
it was how they was making the babies and changing society. All this.
But like the majority of the population society. Was like between 15 and 21, and they were Xanax and Adderall.
Engineering and society. And that's what they're doing now. They call them futurists. Look it up, futurists.
I know the futurists from like an art perspective.
I know futurists. They got for society.
Italians.
No, they got it for society. Propaganda. The dude started public relations. Sigmund Freud nephew. When the women first started smoking cigarettes in the 20s.
You know Freud was high on cocaine for the majority of his...
Yeah, fucked up. But the dude who started public relations is... Check out Tavistock Institute. It's propaganda, but back in the 20s, the cigarette companies wanted to get women to start smoking so they can sell more. Yeah, and they had
thinner,
freedom.
More
they
feminine.
It freedom. They called it freedom seat. And the women in New York City, they had them come out and start smoking, and they called them freedom lights or some shit. And then that made all the women... in the world in
like
America.
Walk and smoke together
because it used to be bad for women to smoke in front of people,
right? So they'd do like gatherings,
yeah,
like protests,
so, yeah,
where they would smoke,
yeah,
with
but,
like
but
the cigarette companies inside of
but
them.
But they hired somebody to come up with this plan.
That's so fucked.
Yeah, I mean, it's propaganda. It's all this, propaganda is and it's just like
We're so close to that. Just yeah, like how do we get outside of that?
How we get out? We talk, but you got to. Who can you talk to?
Like we can talk to each other, but like, how do you plan for a different future without becoming the same thing that you're fighting?
You're only told what the media wants you to hear. What really goes on in the military? Like there's a whole lot more that really goes on than you think goes on. And it would make
come on, like the with the the advent of the internet and social media.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Like, people find things out.
No, they don't.
A lot sooner.
Not what you think.
We gotta get
no, hell no.
Really heard what went on. The public outcry would be fucking crazy.
A lot of people come through here. I mean, every Friday we have this one lady that brings us donuts and stuff. So
no way.
I mean, that makes our day every Friday.
That's every Friday she comes. Is she an older lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really nice.
Yes, ma'am.
When I lost my first husband, I know how I felt on the other side of that table, and I try to. Mine is a helping people.
And how do you help people? Going through this situation?
Well, I know how I wanted things done and how it was done for me, and trying to make it a little bit easier, trying to soften walking in and picking out a casket, or you know, trying to decide what to write in the obituary. It's just, you know, taking a life and celebrating it rather than mourning it.
I'm curious, how do you deal with death, with death?
As I was told when I got into this by the manager that hired me, and when I started working my way up and becoming a funeral director, if it ever gets to a point to where one doesn't bother you, you know, the older ones, okay, it was their time, it was just, but if it ever gets to where you don't have any families that bother you, walk away because you have lost your compassion. Mm-hmm. You have to have compassion in this business.
Does it affect you personally, this job? Do you?
It can, yes. I handled my grandmother's funeral. I handled my great-grandmother's funeral. I did my mom's funeral. One thing I taught my daughter after we lost her dad, and she was 17 months old when we lost him, But she grew up knowing she had a special guardian angel. And it's, you know, there's little kids and stuff, you know, I remind them that, you know, they have a special guardian angel now.
Our church that I attend, they have first Saturday, like, serve days, and so it's based in communities where they need just more attention, I guess, and so it gives you the opportunity to meet new people and meet people that you probably wouldn't meet on your normal day, like going to work, going to school, or whatever your day looks like. It helps you, like, reach out to people and just get to know their story and get to understand what life looks like from a different perspective. I think that creates community, like, getting to know people. You don't, like, it's just using your time. You're not even, like, spending money or, like, going out of your way, but just getting to know someone could change someone's life at the same time.
And personally, I know from a student perspective and more someone that's spiritual rather than religious, it's harder for me to remain connected to a church community,
right?
Because I'm only here for a certain number of years, right, and then I have to leave. But so for our project, one of the main factors that we want to use and continue to spread is the idea of love within your society.
Yeah.
And with your spiritual background, how do you stay positive? Do you stay positive? I know having, I don't know personally, I do not have children, but I know from friends' perspectives that it's hard.
I think it's definitely just a day-by-day process, and even at some point, hour-by-hour, because it's hard. Things don't go like you plan them, especially with children. They're, like, just imagine a tiny you.
Oh,
like,
my God, no.
You're in, like, the mood swings you have up and down times 100. Like, for a small child, everything's new to them, everything's different, like, you can try to plan stuff, but normally it just won't go how you plan it. You just have to be okay with that. You're the adult. You have to find a new way. And I think, especially with children, just, like, watching them be amazed at the small things, it brings you joy. And it doesn't have to be, wow, they, like, wrote their name perfectly today, or they said the alphabet without messing up. It can be just watching them chase a butterfly around. Aww. And just seeing them smile and laugh, and, you know, they fall down and they roll over and they get back up and do it again. And it's things like that, that it doesn't really matter that your day at work was hard and nothing went the way it should have, but just watching them and having that each day, like, because something new is going to happen for them.
So from a parental perspective, like, your child makes your day.
Most
of the time. And even just from
even when they don't,
talking,
even when they are acting up or running around throwing a tantrum, it's still
nice.
You look past that, and you're gonna move on from it. Give them 10 minutes, an hour, even, things will improve.
Tell me more about Horror Cow.
He's really fast, and his tail is also a head, snake head. He lives in Russia, eats paint. He's the one that eats paint. He's 4 feet, 20 pounds.
His tail is also a head.
Yeah.
So, like, do his head and his tail, like, sort of disagree with one another about the direction they're supposed to be going in?
You know how the people who have, like, are born together, you know, like...
Siamese twins?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right way. Conjoined twins is the right way to say it nowadays.
Yeah, conjoined twins.
They don't say Siamese twins. I think that's not PC anymore.
Yeah. And then there's Liverworm. He can live in your liver. Yeah. That's what he looks like to the naked eye, and then up close, that's what he looks like.
And then
he hibernates in your liver. The grabber and the slurper. See, this is the guy with the... he's got half a foot long tongue.
That's pretty long.
Yeah. He's a fifth of an
inch. Hence him being called the slurper.
Yeah. He eats gnats, flies, and beetles. He lives in Brazil again. So that could be a leaf dragon he's sitting on right now.
That could be.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, the eastern dragons.
Yeah. Immense hands. 21,000. Just eats meat. 28 centimeters tall. And.
And 1,000 ounces.
1,020 ounces.
1,020 ounces. Is this a dragon battle scene?
No, it's just like, it's war. USA versus.
Oh, Nazis. I see. There's Nazis.
And, like,
and Italy.
Nazis versus America.
The fascists and the Nazis versus America.
What is for you a good neighbor?
A neighbor?
A good neighbor, yeah. Mm.
I think a good neighbor is someone who, in a general sense, is effectively...
Are you having fun?
I am.
Dated my friend, and he
being okay with my right to be. I don't think my neighbor and I have to get along or be best friends, but I think that my neighbor has to respect my right to exist. It makes me think of, when you say good neighbor, it makes me think of in a neighborhood, in a home neighborhood, when people call the police on people for like loud noise instead of knocking on their doors. I think it's like, I think a good neighbor is a person who, you know, effectively is like, hey, actually, we can work things out on a person-to-person level, and, like, we may not always agree, or I may have an issue with you, but as long as you're not harming me, I can actually reduce the harm by, you know, talking.
What do you know about your neighbors? Like, do you ever hang out with them at all, or do you know anybody out there?
Yeah. I talked to a few of my neighbors a couple times. Just on the second floor. Yeah. When we had the tornado day, I went and knocked on one of my neighbor's doors that were just drinking. I thought it was going to be a party, but it was just a couple girls, one of their gay dude friends. So it was kind of chill. That was that day we had a tornado warning.
What do you think defines a good neighbor?
I think... like, being there whenever you need them, like, even if it goes beyond, like, hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar? It's also, like, we share the same neighborhood. We have the same goals of, like, if we both have kids, we both want our kids to grow up right. So I think it can go the same for being young and being old, but I think being there for the other person, you know, respect your neighbor, treat them how you'd want to be treated type of deal.
So what's a story you have that has to do with a neighbor? It can be a good neighbor story. It can be a bad neighbor story. Either one. So what immediately pops in your head?
I do have a neighbor story. growing up, we had a neighbor that we had left the house, and it was like one of the kind of cool, dreary type days, and the dryer was going, and so, you know, the steam comes out the back of the dryer outside.
Right.
So they thought our house was on fire, and they ended up calling the fire department. Fire department came, we weren't home. They busted down the door and yeah, kind of, you know, made themselves come into the house, you know, forced their way in, and it was only the dryer. There was no fire. And so we get the call letting us know, you know, hey, you know, the fire department's at your house, and come rushing back, and oh, I'm sorry, you know, we busted down your door, and you had to go get a new door, and yeah, so, and this is like 7 o'clock at night, and the neighbor was just like, oh, I'm so sorry, but they were just that type, just kind of like real nosy, and always, but they were called themselves looking out for the other people's property.
The old neighborhood was really cool. My sister and I could run around the neighborhood, and we could like hang out, and like we could literally like walk into someone's house and just hang out.
Yeah.
Like, I remember just like walking across the street and like watching movies with one of my neighbors, and it wasn't even like they had kids, like it was just like this grandma, and we would just sit and watch movies.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had similar growing up. We would go to each other's houses, and then we'd all go home for dinner, and then we'd come back out again and play after dinner together. So sort of similar.
Yeah.
Cool.
We called her Mama Jean.
Mama Jean.
Ser un buen vecino.
Para mí ser un buen vecino es, por supuesto, no tener problemas con mi vecino, no provocarle enojamientos, no, por ejemplo, no tirar basura alrededor de su casa.
¿Tienes alguna historia interesante con algún vecino?
No.
Buena o mala, ¿eh? No tiene que ser.
No tengo ninguna, porque siempre me he mantenido al margen de donde yo sé que no puedo pasar, y no. Si no estoy, digo, aquí es mi línea y no paso, no molesto a nadie más.
Sí, el problema es que el vecino cruce la línea.
El vecino sí cruza la línea, pero como yo siempre he estado así, Entonces, mira que yo no le hago algo mal, él tampoco no trata de la manera de no molestarme. Sí.
How long have you worked here?
I've worked here about 8 months now.
8 months? How do you like it?
Here, we do a lot more here. You get a lot better customer service. Over there, we mainly just sat down inside. And if somebody came up wanting something, we go out there and help them. But unless they came up, we didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Because that's the way we were told to do.
Okay.
But here, we always stay outside. And we're always walking around, making sure nobody needs any help. If they do, we help them right then and there.
Right on. So you kind of like, you like helping?
I like helping. I've always have. Okay. Anytime someone's asking for my help, if I can help, I've always done it.
So what is like the nicest thing a customer has done for you, like in return for your help, I guess?
Well, I have one customer that all I did was just talk to him while he was there. $20 tip.
Wow.
Just for talking to you.
That's nice. Cool.
You just never know what you're going to get when you pay attention to people.
What makes a good neighbor? What do you think? Like, you can take whatever you want from that question.
A good neighbor? I'd say a welcoming person, I guess.
Yeah.
A person with open arms. Yeah, basic kindness.
Wait, say that again.
Kindness, a person with open arms. There's somebody who cares.
Some of the fraternity boys. At night, if I'm closing, like on a Saturday night, they'll be coming from the strip, from parties. They stop right in here and say, "Miss Ginger, we're going next door to Jimmy John's. Have you had your dinner yet?" I said, "Sweetheart, it's 11:30. "Well, I'm buying you a sandwich." I mean, this has happened numerous times. They walk by here and see me, and they think that just because they're hungry that I haven't eaten. I mean, at 11 or 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
But I always take the sandwich anyway. I used to live with walking distance of this store. And there was a man downstairs that he used to be a pipe fitter, and he had trouble getting around. He had a cane, you know, and he was always walking at night, and you couldn't hardly see him because that's the little road right just in seeing distance. It's like an alley, you know, it's one way. Actually, you can either come be going one way, or, you know, you can't pass anybody. But anyway, I remember one night when I was locking the store next door, and that all of a sudden, all these little boys that lived next door to me come running, "Miss Ginger, please come help." So what is it? And this guy, this man, had fallen over by the oak trees. And there's no telling how long he lay there and hollered. And he literally could not get up. And those boys went and got a bed, there wasn't a sheet, it was like a comforter. Because there was four of them and he was a big man. And two on both sides picked him up and took him back home.
Wow.
He didn't have any broken legs or anything, but he was just so arthritic that he couldn't get up on his own.
Right. And they took the time.
Yeah. It was unreal. I mean, most people would have thought, "Well, that's just a sorry old drunk."
Right.
But we don't know how long he laid there because I couldn't hear him.
Yeah.
You know, and the doors were closed and the bar's going on, music's, you know, nobody could hear him. About bring tears to the eyes. Mm-hmm. He's dead now.
Oh.
He is, yeah. He sure is.
I guess it kind of...
He died in a nursing home. Sure did. Oh. No family.
Oh, wow.
No family. I went to see him that morning and took him some snacks and some cranberry juice. And he said, "I don't feel good." And he said, I said, "Well, you need some oxygen. Let me talk to the nurse." I mean, there was no way. I signed him into this nursing home. I was responsible.
Right.
Because it, you know, and then he was having breathing problems, and they said, "Well, his heart is, you know, out of beat, you know." So what, y'all need to get him to the emergency room. So we're waiting on the doctor to call. And I said, "Well, let me know. I'm on my way to work." Nobody calls me. I go back out there at 5 o'clock to take him some more stuff and a newspaper to read. And they tell me he's passed away.
And what is for you to be a good neighbor?
Good neighbor, always smile, open heart. That's the important, whether you know each other or not, doesn't matter. You know, you should always, from my side, always open mind, say hello, smile. Then whatever they respond is up to them, you know. Sometimes I said good morning, they ignore me. "Who's this guy? I don't know. How are you saying good morning?" But for my sake, just another human being.
What's a story or
I guess, any example you have of neighborliness, whether it be a good neighbor or a bad neighbor experience, whatever your experience would be.
Well, we shared the neighborhood with friends, especially in Chicago. So we don't have the, in the city where we live, we don't have the housing. It's more of an apartment complex. And our entrance from the front was all separated, but from the back we all faced, our balcony often faced each other. So that's how we shared our clothes, food, because at the time when we were growing up, I'm talking about early 80s, and basically I'm the first generation raised up here, yes. Been from Asia, I'm the first generation growing up here. My kids are the second generation.
Right.
So when my parents came here, late 70s, to Chicago. But then everybody was so broke, we couldn't even afford a gym uniform. We just shared the gym uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was between four girls. I was like, that's how it was, to be honest. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, we grew up, it wasn't a, you know, rich family or, didn't go to, you know, wasn't living in a rich neighborhood. Parents had no cars. It was a struggle.
Right.
So, you know.
Kind of rely on each other then, in a way.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
My dad used to drive cab in Chicago, so that's the only vehicle that we had.
Yeah. You only had a cab?
Mm-hmm. That we drove in.
What?
Yes, ma'am. We even went to church in that cab. Me and my mom, mm-hmm. my dad, was the four of us.
Right, okay.
So four siblings and parents.
Yeah.
Six. So basically the cab was full.
Yeah.
Have one child. I'm fine. We make connections in the neighborhood. We have good friends. My daughter has good friends. You know, pretty much everything is okay. But every once in a while, I slip into a major panic attack, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I have one there where I am on the floor in the living room, rocking back and forth, literally struggling to breathe. And my daughter's there.
Right.
Wanting to know what's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong. I'm just trying to maintain myself.
Just trying to breathe.
I get a neighbor from next door, and she comes over. The first time, after all these years, so now I am 33.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you got to take me to the emergency room. This is really bad. There's something bad wrong.
Wow.
So I have a friend come and get my daughter. She takes her to her house. My other friend takes me to the emergency room. I am literally in the emergency room yelling at the doctor.
No.
Yelling.
Yeah.
At the doctor. Make it stop. My heart was about to beat out of my throat.
I've been there.
Make it stop. Make it stop. I don't care what you have to do. Make it stop. Of course, they immediately give me a Valium shot. They put me in a room for a few minutes, and he comes in and he says, there isn't anything wrong. You're having a panic attack.
Yeah.
Okay, I've had 13 million panic attacks by then. Mm-hmm. I've never told someone to take me to the emergency room.
Yeah.
So, a year later, I've had another child. We move again. So, when I moved to Birmingham, my husband's traveling. I do have a family member here, but I don't know anybody else here.
Yeah.
So, it's a hard situation.
So the house I lived in when I was in fourth grade to high school, we lived in like a very cute little neighborhood, like the suburban, and we had this neighbor, his name was Hank, and he sold flowers in his garage, and like that's all he did. He had a little van and he took the flowers to little farmers markets, so we would buy flowers from him, but everyone in the town somehow knew that it was Hank the Flower Man. And he was just known throughout the town as Hank the Old Man Who Sold Flowers. And he also would go fishing and get us little blue crabs and give us like 50 pounds of blue crab. And
and it smelled really bad, and none of us liked blue crab, but we took them anyway because we were nice people.
Aw, that's so cute.
Yeah.
What do you think defines a good neighbor?
Good neighbor. I mean, I would say just a neighbor that, like, talks to you, because none of my neighbors now actually, like, talk to us. Like, we don't know any of our neighbors anymore. We don't live that close to them. But, yeah, someone that just, like, talks to you, or if they, like... When I was little, I would say a good neighbor is someone that stops at a lemonade stand when there's kids selling lemonade on the lawn, because our neighbors across the street would be out mowing the lawn for 5 hours and would never stop. And we were, like, really cute, and they would never buy our lemonade, so they were not good neighbors. But Hank, the flower man, always bought our lemonade. So, someone that buys your kids lemonade.
That's adorable.
I'll talk to my neighbors, you know, they're all right and stuff, but usually, I consider my people who I have to interact with more as neighbors is work. The first week I was in my house, one of my neighbors tried to kill themselves, and the cops came by and were beating on all the doors. I've got a TV from one of my neighbors one time, that was pretty cool. I think interesting stories about my neighbors, I don't know, yeah, usually my neighbors are pretty casual, doing their own things.
Beat themselves?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, it was pretty hermitish. You can try it, but yeah, I don't live in one of those communities that's, very interactive.
You guys aren't all lovey-dovey?
No, not at all. Not in the least.
Alright, cool. Thank you.
No problem. Nice to meet you, man.
It's nerve-wracking having someone, like a stranger, just walk up to you, but then when you start talking and you find out things about them, and then y'all have things in common, and that time, like, it feels funny at first, but then when you walk away, you're like, wow, that was actually fun. Like, you got to know someone who lives in the same area as you, probably goes to the same school you went to, or, like, things like that. Like, you find out what you have in common, and you realize, wow, like, talking to strangers is not as weird as it could be.
We're trapped here together.
Yeah, but how are we saying it?
By understanding that, and standing next to each other, and understanding that our voices fucking count.
I'm black. I wasn't.
I'm
count.
A fucking woman.
White, y'all voice count.
I'm whitish.
You go talk to your white boys and see if they go along with you.
You think they've ever listened to me?
That's what I'm saying. So we fuck.
No, we're not. Because fuck them. I don't got to talk to them anymore. We can stand next to each other.
I know. You're white girl, but you got to have your white boy. I'm just talking
but
about
But we have to stop seeing it like that. Like, yes.
How fuck
you're
can
right.
you not see it like
no,
that?
No, Ree, you're right. Like, I have so much
Lane.
Privilege that
Lane.
You don't have.
My boy Asher Lane. They're my white boy.
Mm-hmm. How willing are they to understand their privilege?
They don't understand it. Lave understands his privilege.
Leif it does understand his privilege.
Ashley doesn't.
Ashley, no.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, you get certain...
But there's so many people like us.
Yeah, but every...
There's the majority people like us. If we can just talk to each other.